On this episode of Japan 2.0,
there's some dark days in the David Matt past where Matt was drinking green tea lattes and he was a sad boy.
I was very sad. Hello and welcome to Japan 2.0. I'm one of your hosts, Matthew.
This is David. You're so formal Matthew, today with a Matthew. Yeah.
Well, you know, we're talking about something that, you know, is a little close classy, to your heart. You know, it's coffee.
That's right, coffee.
And cafes.
Yep. Well, we're big coffee people. I think both of us. Do you want to open a cafe? Like, you have some kind of distant dream of opening a cafe?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, me too. I love coffee. I always say, like, you know, it's my main vice. If I had to give up anything else, it would be a lot easier. I think the last thing I would be able to give up is coffee. I'm pretty much an addict.
Yeah. When did you fall in love with coffee? Like, when did you realize, when did you want to open a cafe?
Well, opening a cafe and, I don't have really serious ambitions to open a cafe, but I would think it would be like a dream come true,
to
right?
To me, I correlate when I started, I think, I love this so much that, like, I would kind of like to have a job doing it, you know? That's like the same moment that I realized I was a coffee addict.
Yeah, I would say, I think coming to Japan would be like my biggest influence to opening a cafe. And, part of the reason
5 years ago, moving here or traveling here?
About 10 years ago. I would say 10 years ago visiting, you know, I love the cafe experience. And then about 5 years ago when we moved here, it was, you know, I mean, the reality of living here and thinking about like my future, if I decide to stay in Japan, you know, what would I do? It kind of makes me think about, well, maybe I could get into another line of work, like opening a cafe.
Something interesting about Japanese cafes then that would make you think that way.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of different types of cafes in Japan. And I think that you could get a different experience from each of the different ways you could consume coffee. There's a lot of ways to consume coffee in this country.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's get into it.
Yeah. I thought we'd kind of go through, start with like the traditional how coffee got big in Japan, and then talk about some of the big chains, and then the second half of the show we'll kind of talk more regionally. You know, we're a Kansai based podcast, so we'll talk about some of our favorite places out in Osaka and Kyoto and Kobe, more local kind of spots that we like. But yeah,
before we get into that, did you have like? I mean, you kind of mentioned that you want to open a cafe. So, like, what are your ambitions?
Yeah, I have a couple, like, waves with coffee, right?
Because I feel like you've thought about it more than I have.
You know? Maybe. I don't know. For me, I didn't like coffee in high school. I got into coffee in university. And it was just, like, gas station coffee that I got into. Like, the hazelnut, you know, it's, like, 99 cents for, like, this massive cup. And I always had tons of creamer, tons of sugar in it.
Sure.
And I'd use it as, like, fuel, you know, to study all night long. And then, after so long, you get really into the taste of it and all that. And that was really it. I didn't have Starbucks where I grew up. You know, I grew up in the middle of nowhere. Even then at university, I think I was just too broke to consider paying $5 or something for a coffee, like a latte or a mocha or something at Starbucks. Yeah. But I do remember I had a couple, like, white chocolate lattes or something. This was 19, and I really, really liked them, you know. Tons of whipped cream on top. So, yeah, I mean, if you can consider that coffee even.
Zebra latte is much better. That's on the Starbucks menu. It's a secret menu item.
Real deep Starbucks lover, yeah. But it was really, really moving to Korea shortly after university that made me truly kind of fall in love with coffee on a different level. I think that was the introduction to espresso, which, you know, lattes and mochas and stuff are. But I would say also the ambiance of the cafes in Korea.
That's really important.
Not to like spoil much, but I was to this day, particularly Hongdae, is my favorite place to get coffee in the world. I've been to France, I've been to Italy, I've been to the West Coast. is Seoul. I still think Seoul reigns supreme, and that's mainly because I'm an espresso guy. So I really like espresso-based drinks, and Korea taught me that about myself. So it was there. I was really falling in love in cafes, and really the experience of just staying there for a couple hours and having really good music and just really great interior design. Seoul does that like nowhere else in terms of concentration of those kind of places. You know, it's just pretty empty too. You're just in there, and it's kind of rare sometimes in Seoul or in Asia to be alone or not to be in a really crowded space.
Yeah.
And there's just so many of them there that, they're not crowded.
Even the chains in Seoul, in the suburbs of Seoul, like there was always room to sit, always Wi-Fi, places to charge your phone or your plug in your computer.
I wasn't really thinking about really great, money.
Cafe culture, right?
I just thought like, I remember once I was at a cafe. It's not there anymore. It's called VW Cafe in Hongdae. And it was like the guy there was just playing like awesome. It was like Elliot Smith. And I was like, oh man, I've never been out. I grew up in a small town, so I'd never heard Elliot Smith out in public. I was like, oh, this is so cool. And then he's like, his friends are in there and they're clearly just like chatting. I was like, this dude's just like drinking awesome coffee. He's chatting with his buddies, like DJing for people. Like, this is the dream job. Now I think about like how much money could you really make from that, and, you know, consider our benefits being teachers and stuff. And yeah, I don't know, but that was definitely, you know, feeling the atmosphere of a cafe. I didn't know it could be so amazing. Korea kind of taught me that. So for me, honestly, Japan is a little bit of a step down in terms of, not a little bit, it's quite a bit of a step down. But I would say internationally, Japan's much more famous for coffee than Korea is, right?
Yeah, I think the quality of the coffee you get is a lot better. Mm. But I think some of the issues are in the environment or the space.
Yeah, we'll get into that. Yeah. But yeah, the really unique thing about Japan and coffee, I kind of said Korea has got the kind of cool, artsy, great atmospheres. Japan's really famous for these things called kiseten, and that's like what's unique. Nowhere else in the world are you going to find the kind of kiseten vibe. And this again started post-war times.
Really unique, yeah.
So I don't know much about coffee before the war, to be honest, in Japan, but I have to imagine it's like a lot of other places in Asia, which was really non-existent or like crazy expensive. But yeah, the kiseten started, and it was a place for men, pretty much purely men. I don't know if it was a hard rule, but it's just known the only guys go there. Incredibly smoky, and oftentimes listening to jazz music quite loudly.
Yeah, and no talking as well. Like, they're famous for being like really quiet places, like kind of a break from your businessman job, you know, your daily grind. Yep. So you see a lot of people reading magazines books. Or books or the newspaper, chain smoking and drinking coffee.
There's a certain genre of food in Japan. It's like Japanese interpretations of Western food. I forget the name of it. It's some of the W sound. And for me, it's rock bottom, the worst food in Japan. So these are things hot dogs, certain spaghettis that are like Neapolitan spaghetti. It's like ketchup spaghetti.
Club sandwiches that don't resemble club sandwiches. Yeah, that's exactly
right. Really bad sandwiches. Yeah. Just all white bread and nothing else on there.
The best thing you could get at any of these kisatens is hayashi beef, which is like hashed beef. It's basically like a curry in a tomato-based sauce.
Yeah. What's that sauce?
But that's the best thing you could get. It's called demi-glaze.
We have a sauce back home. It's like a Heinz. Is it Heinz?
It's Heinz, it tastes like Heinz, almost like a SpaghettiO-flavored sauce. I actually quite like it, but, you know, I know it's kind of an acquired taste.
Yeah. So they have donkatsu sometimes, which is like a pork. So it's like German schnitzel.
You could find good. Some places have really good food, but it's very, it's rare. It's a special place.
For me, the food there is horrible. Yeah. So you go for the coffee. To be honest, the coffee, so even today, coffee's just all right. Fine, all right at these places.
I've never had a great cup of coffee.
It's generally weak, to be honest. Very watery. But yeah, it's a unique ambiance. You're not going to get anywhere. And there's a lot of special nuanced ones. So if you're out in Tokyo, like Cafe Lion, I think we talked about it briefly on the show before, but you got to go there.
Like the hi-fi cafes, so places that have music or they specialize in a particular type of music.
Yeah.
Those are worth checking out for sure.
Yeah. So Cafe Lion's a classical specialist. It feels like you're going to church. Then there's a really cool one in Kobe called Jam Jam, and that's more of a jazz based version, huge crazy speakers, like Matt said, vinyl.
More like a bar, yeah.
Like a bar, yep. You just go there, chill, listen to really, really loud music on nice speakers. Yes, but not all Kisiten, you know, are specializing in music. You know, just generally it's like a place you can stay for a while and study or read. You don't see a lot of cell phones in these places today. No. You still don't see a lot of women in them.
No, mostly guys. A lot of smoking. Yeah, it's like the same. I don't think they've changed
over the years. This is like the most unique thing about the Japanese coffee experience, and probably not selling you on it because it's not that great. But it's something to be experienced, like pachinko. Or, you know, you're not going to love it, but it's like, oh, wow, this exists still today, and it's kind of like a time warp back in the time.
They can be convenient, like if you're out kind of in the sticks or something and you come across one. I mean, you might have a good experience. You know, it's like a mom-and-pop kind of place, you know. And so it's not the worst thing in the world, but like if you want like a relaxing cafe experience, I don't feel like that's the best, or a social cafe experience.
Yeah, it's a good place to be alone, I guess. Yeah. They kind of specialize those ones in siphon coffee. And siphon coffee, as far as I know, is pretty unique to Japan, although I think Denmark has a take on it as well. But yeah, it's like it looks like a chemistry set. Hario is a really big brand out here. They started off in chemistry, actually, Hario. Up, and then they got big with the coffee world. So they do a lot of the V60, for example. For pour over is from Hario, but they do these siphon sets and they're bubbly spheres and they're usually like lit up.
Yeah, it's like what do you call those? Not beakers, but
flasks,
Benson burners and
Erlenmeyer flasks
and things. Yeah,
they're really, really wild. I don't know, coffee. To be honest, the coffee just tastes like standard drip coffee. Like,
yeah, the only thing I would say is in the summertime you could get some good cold brew coffee from those. Yeah.
Is that Kisiten?
I've gotten it from Kisiten. Yeah.
So yeah, cold brew coffee is like, I've watched videos like in the States or read books in the States, and they say like the best cold brew coffee, if you like strong coffee, is Japanese cold brew style.
Yeah.
A certain extraction method that they do here. I think it's like overnight. And now cold brew is like a thing back home, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, the Japanese have been doing it forever. So it's pretty much, you know, very similar, akin to cold brew setup. And there's slight nuance differences. But so those are the kinds of things that I think, positive things that Japan does well, is drip coffee, siphon, and the cold iced coffee, the kind of concentrated cold brew.
Yeah.
And you can find those at a lot of places we'll get into later in the episode, the places we like.
I would say another thing that they do really well is provide coffee beans. There are a lot of local roasters where you could get fresh roasted coffee beans.
Yep.
And I used to go to one in my neighborhood until I found at like a grocery chain a really good coffee. But there's a place called Bourbon Coffee in near where I live, and they have a couple of locations. They own a Kisaten, so you could go into the Kisaten and sit down at that Bourbon Coffee location.
Does it taste like bourbon at all, the coffee?
No, it doesn't taste like bourbon, no. But they have specialty blends, stuff like Royal Blend or Gold Blend and Morning Blends, and you know, of course, things from Ethiopia, Ethiopian Blend and all that stuff. And but it's awesome going to those places because they have the huge kilns and they're roasting the coffee in the machines. And
yeah. I live in a really small neighborhood. There's not much going on here at all, right? There's 4 coffee roasters in this area.
Yeah.
That being said, like, I don't know. They're not great often.
Yeah.
I don't like drip coffee or like brew coffee. I mean, I like it, of course, if I consider
myself. This is where we diverge,
right? Yeah, this is where we diverge. I like espresso, right? So these places don't specialize in espresso. They don't have espresso machines. You literally can't order espresso on the menu. So, yeah, for me, I guess that's what I'm looking for. I'm probably not qualified to really speak about the quality of these beans, you know, for drip coffee and stuff, but they look good. I mean, they always got the graphs. They're really big on the graphs here where it says, like, the bitterness and the sweetness level and they make it very scientific.
Sometimes you'll see like charts that will tell you, but a lot of times, you know, the smaller places, they don't have that. It's just you choose the blend you like. They'll sometimes let me smell the beans if I ask. And yeah, that helps to find something that, you know, might potentially be good for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm a pour over guy. I love pour over coffee. I love French press, you know, and drip coffee. So for me, I prefer, you know, just like those types of beans. And so I don't have an espresso machine at home, and you know, I don't like Americanos all that much.
I love lattes. I do love espresso.
Yeah,
I don't like
for lattes.
Yeah. I'm trying to see when Starbucks came to Japan, because I think that's the next thing we have to get to.
Okay, yeah. Well, the more modern take on Japanese cafes, yeah.
Yeah, I think Starbucks, similar to Korea, revolutionized kind of coffee here in Japan. And I know when we moved here, you know, just 5-6 years ago, and I was shocked at the prevalence of Starbucks here, like how many there are compared to the U.S. And then the fact that they're popular still, because like in Korea, because there's such a strong cafe espresso culture, you know, Starbucks is, they're always 70% full there.
Yeah,
you could always get a seat.
Always.
It wasn't going to be like dead either. Yeah. Where in Japan, when we came here 5 or 6 years ago, if you wanted the lattes and the mochas and all those drinks, these Japanese places don't do them. So Starbucks is like the place to go do that. So if you want those drinks, you generally had to go to Starbucks. Or there's these other kind of Japanese copycat companies. Dotor is one, I would say, and Excelsior.
Yeah.
And then again, Excelsior particularly is a bit of a Starbucks ripoff. Even their logo, you know, same color, it looks quite similar. Dotor does some more unique things. They have some more food and stuff on the menu. But I think so for Japanese people, you know, Starbucks is the like originator of that style, you know? Since there wasn't a lot of espresso places out here before.
Yeah, I'm guessing like maybe McDonald's was probably the precursor, because I know that when I came 7 or 8 years ago, or it was even earlier
maybe
than
10
that.
Years
yeah,
ago.
10 years ago. Starbucks, I don't even know if Starbucks was around. I didn't see many of them. Mm. And I would go to Excelsior. I would go to McDonald's. I saw a lot of people in McDonald's drinking coffee.
So Starbucks came here in 96, and I was in Ginza in Tokyo. It probably didn't get big until like 2000.
Probably not many locations.
Yeah, so probably 2000 it took over. So I think the kind of ambiance of a Starbucks was very unique to Japan. Like there weren't places like where there's couches, and it's, I don't know, very modern, a little more feminine qualities than the Kiseiten, right?
The music being played is kind of like that pop jazz kind of like variety.
They got your Coldplay or just something a little more trendy or modern. And I will say, like, so when I came here and saw, I had to go to Starbucks for like the first time. You know, I generally like McDonald's and try not to go to Starbucks. You can always find it somewhere better or more interesting or more local. You know, I'm in Japan. I should go to kind of local places. But again, I'm a latte guy. It's my drink. And I, living in Kobe, there was 2 places that did like a decent latte, pretty good latte. But oftentimes they were busy or full, or they're just a little bit out of the way. And I was going to Starbucks for like the first time in my life on a regular basis. And the coffee was not good like I had remembered. But what I was happy by was like the ambiance of the Starbucks in Japan. Everyone was really unique. And when I was going in the States, I remember they all kind of felt the same, like a copy of each other. But somehow when they do them in Japan, they all feel, I mean, obviously it has a Starbucks feel to it. It ties it together. But there's one in Kyoto. It's like an art gallery. And there's one, you know, it's like a wooden cabin.
Yeah, yeah. I went to one in Sakai, which is like, no, almost nowhere in Osaka. It's like an area nobody travels to or anything.
Hmm.
And unless you kind of live in the neighborhood or if you're from there. But they have one of the coolest Starbucks. It is like a log cabin with like outdoor seating and panels and stuff. Super cool location. And that was really cool to go to.
Yeah, they have
the ambience is great.
They have these other Starbucks here where they're like trying not to be Starbucks. I always call it a secret Starbucks
They're like fancy, and they have the nitro brew and
but
some special.
They don't have the branding, so they don't have that green mermaid thing at all, you know? I don't remember what they're called. But I went to one time in Shimokitazawa, and I didn't know I was at a Starbucks until I was about to throw the receipt away, and I threw it away, and it says Starbucks on it. I was like, this isn't a Starbucks. They had wine there and alcohol.
Yeah.
And
beer on tap and stuff.
Yeah, and there's So Starbucks Reserve, I think, is kind of like the standard name for like the higher end Starbucks now.
Yeah, we have a couple of those in Osaka.
There's one in Nakameguro, which is really fascinating. That's where they opened, because that's one of the real deep cut, you know, secret cool Tokyo neighborhoods. It's like four stories high, and it has legit bars in it with like really nice alcohol, coffee based alcohols, and
wow,
that's really fun. Like I'm kind of a little chip on my shoulder about Starbucks, you know, but. You definitely, if you're out in Tokyo and you're traveling, go to that Nakameguro one. You might have to wait like 20 minutes to get in. It's really cool.
Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of Starbucks drip coffee. I feel like they overcook it.
It's over roasted for sure, right?
Yeah. But it is the ambiance, which is nice. And it's always a good place to sit if you can get a seat.
That's one of your big complaints.
So one of my big complaints is just Starbucks are packed all the time. I try to go to the Starbucks in Tennoji. There's like four locations in Tennoji, and they're all out the door packed. Like, people in every seat, even those, you know, how most Starbucks have the shared seating and stuff, and usually there's like one spot. There's never any spots. And it doesn't help that a lot of Japanese people are bad about, you know, putting their things on other seats and taking over, like, you know, a couple of chairs.
Yeah.
And not
moving it.
Yeah, not moving it unless you ask them.
Yeah.
If you ask them, they always do it.
Yeah.
And they're always like, oh, sorry. But it takes a little courage to go and do that.
It's a generalization, of course, but, like, it kind of goes against the stereotype. Both are generalizations, but, you know, Japan's really famous for being polite and courteous and stuff, and I'm always really surprised when... Today we were at a cafe and somebody was looking in our direction, and Matt and I both moved our stuff off the chair next to us.
Yeah.
And
I'm really sensitive about that sort of thing.
Sensitive guy.
Sensitive guy.
That was a weird situation. She sat across from her friend at a different position. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
I wonder what's up with that.
Yeah.
But so I don't know. That's kind of it in terms of like traditional Japanese places. Some of the franchises, like you said, Dottore, Excelsior, Starbucks is pretty much Japanese. They've kind of taken it and made it their own. It's so prevalent here. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
You just see, you know, just Starbucks across the street from another Starbucks. And
yeah,
I don't know why
it's almost become like that.
There's not more unique places. I guess I'm kind of answering my own question. The places that I do like that kind of give that same kind of atmosphere of a Starbucks are always like 10% full, but Starbucks has a line out the door. I think it's the Frappuccino and like all that weird non-coffee stuff that people want.
Yeah, the seasonal stuff definitely brings people in. And I think
that suits Japan well, seasonal, right?
And I think that Starbucks actually has some good foods, like their quiche and their sandwiches and stuff.
Japan doesn't always do Western food super well, you know? So, yeah, I do agree that if I do get stuck at a Starbucks here, I'm always getting the quiche or the food is somewhat enjoyable.
I had the cheesecake tart the other day and it was fantastic. The
desserts are good. Yeah, that's true. For the price point too, right?
Sure.
So that's kind of it. Second half, we're going to get into some of our favorite places locally. I can talk about some Tokyo spots
too. I think we'll talk about how the culture is kind of starting to evolve and how things are starting to change.
It's getting better.
Yeah. So we'll be back right after this.
1, 2, 3.
Back.
That's right.
Yeah, and today's segment is coffee at your home. Okay. So for a lot of you that are visiting or you live in Japan or maybe you're just moving to Japan, there's a really convenient thing you can do to have coffee. And yes, it's very
I'm
easy
signaling
to find
over here. Yeah.
And it actually is quite good. And that is instant pour over coffee packets.
Okay, well, everyone, close your eyes. Envision in your mind here a UFO.
Yeah, it's kind of like a UFO.
A UFO has come. Yeah. It's shrunken down to about size, a little slightly larger than a cup opening, and it sits itself right down on top of your cup.
Yeah.
And this is what Matt's talking about. Yeah, it's this package that you put over the lid of your cup.
Yeah, basically it comes in a little package just like ramen
like
or something.
Cardboard, yeah.
You rip it open, you pull out this little cardboard
apparatus
you have to build. So you rip off the top of the fabric, and then you...
It has like a filter. Like if you're doing a V60 pour over, it's got a filter.
It's built basically right in. A filter. Like the fabric part is like just the filter itself.
It's preloaded with coffee.
Yeah. and you put it over a mug, and all you have to do is have hot water, and you pour it over the top.
Yep, just like you would pour over. It's UCC is one of the big brands.
Yeah, I prefer Blendy. That's my favorite brand. I think Blendy tastes good.
There's different colors. Is there a certain color you like?
Oh, the green.
The green.
Yeah, dark green Blendy is definitely the best. It's their standard flavor, and I find it's like a quite a good cup of coffee.
Like it is. For the price coffee. And like the fact it's instant, it's very good.
Yeah, and if you know, you're staying in a hostel or a place, all you need is hot water. So as long as you have a water heater, you know, you can like a tea boiler or whatever you call those, you know, the pots that boil water.
I'm about ready to do a 3-day bike trip over some islands in Seto Sea, Western Japan. And I was thinking, like, man, what am I going to do for coffee? It's like out in the middle of nowhere, you know?
Yeah.
And you just gave me my idea.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. So, you know, it's a small segment. I don't have to talk about it all that much. But, you know, Japan has these really great pour-over coffees that you could get at any supermarket, convenience store. 7-Eleven brand is actually quite good. Mm. And it's super cheap. It's like $3 and you get 12 packets or something.
All right.
And if you want decaf coffee, which I used to be an expert about. I'm a little less so. I used to only drink decaf coffee.
For health reasons.
Yeah, for health reasons. But now back to caffeine.
Yeah, that's right. Caffeine City, I brought him back to the dark side.
Yeah, definitely David did not help.
There was some dark days in the David Matt past where Matt was drinking green tea lattes. And he was a sad boy.
I was very sad. Yeah, but now I'm back. Full effect.
That's right.
But yeah, these are great. They're really cheap, and I highly recommend them. So if you go online, you could probably buy some. If you want to try them, get them shipped over. Blendy is my favorite brand.
All right.
And it comes with my highest recommendation.
We are back. We're talking about our favorite coffee places, a little bit off the beaten path here. These are ones you haven't heard of on other podcasts, you probably haven't read about, but if you're coming to Japan, you live in Japan, you got to check them out.
Yeah, there are a number of places in our neighborhoods, so they might be regional. You know, you might have to come out to like where
I'll give some Tokyo shout outs.
Yeah, we'll give Osaka, Kobe, Tokyo, that's Kyoto,
Kansai. You
know, we'll try to do our favorite places in these areas.
That's right.
And hopefully you get to come and visit these.
Yep. All right.
Do you want to start off?
I'll get the ball rolling. Yeah. For me, a big one was Streamer's Coffee. Again, being into lattes and espresso, starting like 6-7 years ago, this was kind of like the place if you're going to get like a local Japanese experience. They're really famous for their latte art. They won like a latte art world competition years back, and they still to this day kind of seem to be milking that or living off that. It doesn't seem like they're winning that competition still or doing well in it, but they sell their own tampers, even like custom made like crazy mahogany wood for $150, and I like it. We used to always go out in Tokyo. It wasn't out here in Kansai, and it, you know, felt very Tokyo, very kind of urban, hip, you know, kind of street culture.
Skateboard.
It's definitely,
definitely skateboard inspired.
Yeah. Think like
Venice Beach.
Supreme were to like have a coffee shop in it.
Yeah.
Streamers would be the coffee shop example, that's in the Supreme store. That being said, I'm not like a big Supreme fan, or especially like the attitude of Supreme, I'm not really a big fan of. And I do think certain Streamers locations come with that attitude. That's kind of caveat to them.
I will say that
Shinsaibashi one and Osaka particularly has been notorious for a bad attitude.
I've had bad experiences, and I will say that it's dissuaded me from going back. Like, I haven't been back in years because the customer service was so poor.
That being said, the Kobe location is not as cool as the Shinsaibashi one, but it's very humble, down to earth, and the people are so, so nice there. They always give my son free stuff and big smiles, and they know us all by name, and it's a totally different experience from that Shinsaibashi one.
Yeah.
The Tokyo ones I've been to have been pretty neutral, to be honest. They're nice enough, but not like super crazy nice or anything. So I think that one location in Osaka has given some people a bad image of it. But for me, they're being the price point's really, really good. It's not that expensive, actually. other clothes and stuff there can be expensive, but yeah, their beans are actually good price and really good quality, especially if you want dark beans for espresso. And yeah, it's cool local place, really strong coffee. Like strong coffee, their baked goods are really, really good. You know, they're locally sourced. They got nice cheesecakes, a lot of like Oreo brownies and things like that. They always sell the kendama there too. Kendama is like a traditional Japanese game where you throw this ball attached to a string and try to catch it in this little wooden receptacle. And it's a big part of like the hippie culture here.
Yeah. It's basically like the hacky sack
for hippies. That's right.
Japanese hippies.
And yeah, they always sell those devices there. So it's got some Japanese flair to it. But yeah, so Streamers is one that I like.
They do sell donuts, so that's a plus.
They do like a green tea donut. Yeah, try the Revolver latte. That's what I recommend. Really strong latte. Awesome.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with probably my favorite place, but it's right next to Streamers and Sensaibashi. So this is one of the reasons why I don't go to Streamers. There's a place called Lilo Cafe, and it's right beside the Shinsaibashi Streamers location. Mm. And that place is really cool. The guy that's working in there is pretty cool. Super cool nice. Looking. Oh, you know, really he's nice. Got like red fluffy haircut with like the shaved sides, you know, like kind of a unique look to him. Very shy, but very, he'll talk with you and stuff. He speaks good English. Mm-hmm. And, the thing I really like about their cafe, it's really small. There are not a lot of seats or anything, so you can't really sit inside. Very small, there's like four or five seats inside.
Yeah.
And friend of the show, Tom, shout out Tom. How you doing? He and I went in there once and we had a really good experience. But the thing I like about that place best is that they have these little business cards. And on the business cards has the name of one of their coffee beans. Mm-hmm. And then it has, like you were saying, the little power level.
Yeah.
Like, you know, bitterness is, you know, here. Mm-hmm. It looks like the back of a G.I. Joe trade, you know, the box of the G.I. Joes or Ninja Turtles or something. Intelligence, you know, is 8. And so it's really a good way to see, you know, what the flavors are.
Yep.
And I really appreciate that because there are a lot of like South American beans that I like, but sometimes I'll get a bean from the same location and the flavor is like different. Way different, right?
Sorry. A lot of variants in your country, yeah.
So it gives a good indicator as to what you're going to get.
Mm.
And they do pour over coffees, which of course, you know, that's my favorite.
Yep.
I think they do espresso as well.
They do.
But they specialize in pour overs. And so that's something I really appreciate. They're probably one of the more expensive places in town. They're not cheap.
Yeah, the beans are very premium price point.
Yeah.
Are you looking at like $20 for 200 grams or so?
Yeah. Even the pour over is about 600 yen, which is roughly $6, you know. Yeah. But I would say out of all the coffees I've had, that's probably one of my favorites. Yeah.
The beans, when you buy the bag there, they do a really cool wax seal on it. It's a nice little touch.
Yeah.
So it's like a red. I think they have multiple colors, but you know, the classic one's red and they burn their image into it and it melts down the bag. It's really, nice look. I was thinking that place was going to be my favorite, but for me, for the price and everything, just bringing beans home, they're pretty normal.
Yeah. There's a lot of competition in that neighborhood. So I understand it. And I found myself going to other places as well.
Mm.
But when I want a really good cup of coffee and I want to, I'll go there. You know, that's my go-to.
They have cool shirts too there. Really nice made, like handmade stitched in like logos and stuff. Kind of like reggae colors, right? Green, yellow, red.
Yeah. I think. And they have like a crest.
Crest is cool.
Yeah, logo. Almost reggae, that kind of reggae imperial kind of look.
Yeah. So that place is cool. Where's the place in Horia I like? I always forget the name.
Granat.
Yeah,
Granat.
Granat's cool. They just had like a kind of makeover in the last year or so on the inside. Similar vibe. I've noticed the lady hasn't been there. I haven't seen her in a long time.
Yeah, there was a woman that spoke with an Australian accent.
Yeah, she was
cool. Yeah, she was really nice and really friendly. They also do great drip pour over coffees.
I think everything there is good. Yeah. Their lattes are awesome. Their beans are really, really, they're some of my favorite beans. If you're just doing like French press or something,
yeah.
A nice like house, you know, kind of mixed bean.
Yeah. But one of the things that, one of their downsides were they always run out of things.
Yeah,
and so there'd be a couple of times I come in and I go, can I get like a coffee to go? And they'd be like, oh, we're out, you know, like beans right now, you know, do you want tea or something? And I was like, nah.
Hasn't happened in a while, so I think they're getting their legs, you know, in their first couple of years.
It could have been just their early.
I got frustrated once. I think three strikes and you're out.
Yeah.
They're either closed on times where they didn't post they were supposed to be closed, or I would go and they didn't have beans at all. And it just happened like 3 times in a row. And I think I text Matt, an angry text saying like, I'm done. I'm not going there anymore. But years have passed and I've gone by. They've been more consistent recently. So whenever I'm in the neighborhood, I always try to get over there. They're great. Any other places in Osaka?
Yeah, down by my neighborhood, okay. There's a place called Cozy Cafe. Mm. It's also in a kind of a weird location. It's not easy to get to unless you're going to the Sumiyoshi Taisha, the famous bridge temple that's mm-hmm. in near where I live. Mm. Cozy Cafe is on the way, and it makes a fantastic cup of coffee. Their lattes are really good. Is it
Cozy with a K?
Cozy with a C.
C, okay.
Yeah. And it's got this really great like hip hop vibe aesthetic with some like kind of parodies of the Peanuts like on the walls, you know, like Charlie Brown and yeah, things like that. And the music in there is always great. Mm. New Job Is and a lot of the study beats like you were talking about. Mm-hmm. So it's a great place to hang out at. The, you know, downsides are getting to Cozy is a little difficult because you have to take the Nankai tram, which is not, it's, you know, a small train and you could pass by the location very easily. Sometimes they're closed, so they have it's one of those places that has weird hours.
Yep.
And they're a little expensive.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't believe I almost forgot about Brooklyn. At one time, I named Brooklyn Coffee my favorite.
Oh, sure. Yeah, this is an important place.
I think for me, I'm kind of going to get into next, like, Western companies that are in Japan, but I think Japan has kind of made them their own, similar to Starbucks, right? And the designs are kind of uniquely Japanese.
Sure.
But yeah, Brooklyn is from New York, as the name implies. But for us, again, they were one of the earlier kind of espresso-based places out here. The original location was in Kitahama, I believe the neighborhood's called. It's like northeastern Osaka. And for me, that location to me is so urban and so chic. That might be my favorite in terms of ambiance. I think my favorite cafe in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
It's on a river. You can sit on this patio that overlooks the river and like boats go by. And across the river is a very like old school Western building, like 100-year-old building. I think it's a bank or like a government office. And then inside there's like this flower shop of like not normal flowers, but like just really rare, kind of beautiful orchids and things.
Yeah. We did some recording in there once, didn't we?
Probably did once. I think
we did.
Yeah, they use a lot of leather furniture. I like a leather company called Chark from Osaka, and it looks like their stuff's from there. And
what's the name again? Chark.
The furniture? Truck.
Truck.
Yeah, like the car.
Okay, right? Truck like a car. Okay,
they have a magazine called Trunk. Trunk. So you can search either of those. It just always feels like people are coming in, going out. It has a really New York feel to me, which is, I mean, the name implies, but that location just feels like a lot of hustle and bustle. And I think, again, for me being like a small town kid, there's some appeal to that. Like, oh man, I made it. I'm living in the busy city, you know, like it feels, you see like bike messengers. It's got that kind of vibe.
Yeah. Very New York feel. Yeah.
They have nice little snacks, but yeah, they're kind of bigger location. The one we have more experience with is down near Namba Parks, and it's under the tracks. I remember the day still, like Emily found it and like told me really excitedly. It's got a cool pizza joint in there called Token Pizza, and it's really big, which is rare.
Yeah, probably the best pizza in Osaka too. Yes. Great coffee.
Yes. Yeah. So the maple Shay Shay, that's what I recommend. It's like a maple latte, and something about the maple they use is really, really nice. They sell beans. The cans are very appealing, really nice. Let's say that, again, the quality for the price is probably a miss for me to be regular. But you're looking for a nice gift for someone, you know, it looks, the presentation of the can is really beautiful.
Yeah, their t-shirt's cool.
T-shirts are cool too, yeah. So, yeah, Brooklyn's awesome. Strongly recommend that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Anywhere else in Osaka for you?
I'm kind of blanking right now, but yeah, I know there's a lot of places.
Saturdays
is in
Kobe and New York and Tokyo. And then it is in Tokyo, New York, Kobe, Osaka. Those are those locations in the world. Maybe one in Australia too. And, it's a surf company from New York, which is a bit odd because New York's not really known for the surf. And Kobe or Osaka aren't really known for their surf either, but they do sell surfboards in there. Their clothes have really taken off. I think they're more of a clothing company now than anything else. And I do like their clothes, but they're quite overly priced. Sales are good, though. So Saturdays NYC is what they're called. And the snacks are awesome. One of the best ice cream cookies in my life. It's more like an Oreo cookie on the outside. Have you had that thing before?
Yes, I have.
Oh, yeah. Man, so rich. It's very incredible.
Yeah, that's really good. I would say their donuts are good, too. Okay. They don't always do donuts. It's like, depends on who's working there, I think. Okay. You know, but when they do their donuts, their coconut donuts, quite good. So I recommend that.
Beautiful antique speakers in there, and they're always playing like really great curated music. It's pretty loud. If you're sensitive to loud music, maybe you wouldn't like this place. I love it. It feels like you're at a concert or something.
Yeah, it's that shared big table, shared seating only kind of place.
The Kobe location, very friendly staff, really nice. It has a vibe.
People have always been friendly there.
It has a vibe, but you might be like afraid to go in if you're not like wearing the right thing, you know. But they're so cool, so nice there. Really, really nice to my son always. So
I would say a secret place in Osaka is Colombo Books.
Very secret. Colombo Books and cheap.
It's a tiny place.
The standard latte is going to cost you $5.50 in Japan, $5.50. What's the drip coffee standard at like one of these places we mentioned?
Oh, I mean around 600 yen. For drip? Yeah, okay. I'd say 600 so for most places. But Conan.
Colombo.
Colombo Books. Yeah. We were talking about Conan in the last episode. Yeah. That's why I got confused. Colombo Books.
By half
the
price.
It's half the price. I think 300 yen for a great pour over coffee. I mean,
their lattes are good too.
Yeah, probably some of my favorites in town.
It's got a really small espresso machine. You know, it's like what I have at my house, but it makes a really mean espresso from it. And the books are amazing, so you can sit and thumb through some books. The guy is really cool.
Yeah, if you go there, tell him Matthew sent you and the Shibuya K fan.
Yeah.
He might remember me.
That's a real secret deep cut. You're only gonna hear here. In Kobe, we got streamers, we got Saturdays, and we have Blue Bottle. All three of those are technically non-Japanese companies, but those are the best three places for espresso.
Blue Bottle's also in Kyoto.
Yeah, the Kyoto location really is special.
Super cool because it's kind of like a Zen garden slash.
Yeah, they do a really good job adapting to each city and taking on the best parts of that city.
Yeah.
If you want more local places in Kobe, there's Greens Coffee. They do really nice beans, very cheap, very reasonably priced. It's takeout only. So Greens is a cool local spot. There's Beyond Coffee. The mustache is their logo. The owner has a very large mustachio man. They're standing only, so standing cafe only, but very cool vibe. And those are kind of the two screens and Beyond the two secret spots in Kobe. My favorite cafe chain in Kansai is Arabica in Kyoto, and you'll have a hard time finding a seat. One of the nice things not being a really famous podcast is I can give away some of my favorite secrets. So that I was even thinking, Should I talk about this? But yeah, Arabica is, I think, three locations in Kyoto, and you typically are going to wait about an hour to get into them. But there's one location that almost never has a wait, or if they do, it's always less than 5 minutes, and you can get a seat there. And it's in the Fuji Daimaru department store. So I think that's why people don't know it, is you wouldn't think to go in a department store.
To get the coffee. Yeah.
It's still a really cool vibe. It's very steampunk kind of aesthetic in there, and the coffee tastes just as good as our two kind of famous locations. Such good beans. They're my number one favorite coffee beans to take home for espresso, dark roast. Yeah, place is very, very consistent and really cool atmosphere. I think technically, I'm going to get this wrong, it might be from Hong Kong, actually, originally.
Okay.
But I think they got famous in Japan, and then they've expanded in the past year or two. So they're in like Dubai and Paris now. They're all over. We can't get one in Osaka or in Kobe, sadly.
Of course not, yeah.
But they're all over the world. Yeah, but that's probably my favorite Japanese
coffee. It seems like those kind of coffee chains are expanding, though. So, I mean, it's only a matter of time before one of us gets it.
I hope so.
Yeah. I would say another tip, I have two tips for Japan 2.0 listeners, is if you want a good cup of coffee, you could go to a curry cafe. Like if you go to like a local curry place, not like Coco Curry not a chain.
This is a unique Matt. I trust Matt, but I kind of know what he's saying, but I would never think to say this.
So local cafes often have a good cup of coffee. I, I've I mean, I don't know if you feel that way, but I think that, like, in Nakatsu, Osaka, there's a bunch of curry places that have really good coffee. Usually they're the ones that are Japan owned and operated, and I think that's because, you know, they want to be a cafe plus a curry place, right? So there sometimes is a focus on treats and coffee as well. I can't speak for all the Nepalese places in the neighborhood because there are a lot of Nepalese coffee places, but I would say Nepalese curry places. But yeah, that's a good, and I think, you know, butter curry in Osaka has some pretty good drinks. I mean, it could be chai teas and stuff, but their coffee's quite good too. And then the other tip I want to give you is, if you just need that fix, that coffee fix, and you need that coffee to keep coming, you got to go to Mr. Donut. Because Mr. Donut is a chain you can find anywhere in the world.
Quantity.
Yeah, but I find that their coffee, mind you, I like diner coffee, okay? Yeah. I'm from the States. I'm from California. So, you know, I think diner coffee is fine. You know, I know it's not the best. It's not the best cup of coffee you could get, but... if I think Mr. Donut's one of the better chains that has decent coffee, and they'll walk around the chain and they'll pour coffee for you, so you could have free unlimited refills.
Yeah,
and that's really rare in Japan.
And there's two levels. There's a premium and the normal. The premium is like a more fatty milk.
So if you they put milk in it,
I guess immediately. I guess so, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so
it's
like
a higher quality milk.
If you get the standard, like, pour over, it's there's just no like a pot of coffee, right? Okay. Yeah, and the little pour, yeah, there's no milk. I just put cream in it, like one cream in there.
There you go. I said we were going to do Tokyo cafes, but I don't think I...
need more coffee, that's what we need to do. We're going to take a break, we're going to get
drink
more coffee
at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, then we're going to record another episode of the podcast.
I gave you some quick shout-out ones. Yeah, there's Fulgen Coffee, which is a Norwegian place, and the architecture is very Norwegian inside. It feels really antiquated, but it's not that old. I really recommend that spot. It's pretty well-known, so it'll be packed. The Latteist is a cool one. I think it's in Aoyama or Omotesando, kind of ritzier neighborhoods, but it's a very... minimalist kind of concrete vibe in there. If you're a big Terrace House fan, there's a Terrace House cast member who worked there. To be honest, that's how I found out about it. It was really, really good. Those are the first two that popped up in my mind. I'm sure I'm gonna kick myself later for forgetting some, but there's a lot more. I could look at a list, but if you need two places to go to, there you go, in Tokyo. I'm sure you'll find a million. Verge Coffee is a California based one that's really good out there. Rag and Bones,
Blue Bottle.
Rag and Bone, all right. Rag and Bone's a good one. Blue Bottle, yeah. Rag and Bone is a fashion company. I think they're from New York, and they have a cafe out there, and it's in Ura Harajuku, so like the backside of Harajuku. And they do like a lavender latte. I've never thought I'd like that. It's so good, so good.
Good Town Donuts.
Their coffee's all right.
Their coffee's good.
Yeah.
Well, once again, we have two different tastes. So yeah.
They used to make you order a drink when you got a donut there. So I think I was begrudgingly always just ordering coffee. Like, I was already hyped up on caffeine.
Yeah, you already had your particular place that you wanted to go to.
Cafe,
right?
Yeah. Anyway, coffee in Japan, not a bad place to be for a coffee lover.
No, you got
to
do it.
Got to do it. Yeah. That's it. Coffee. I'm trying to think.
I got a song.
You got a coffee song?
Yeah. So before we do that, I'll do the house cleaning, you know, or... housekeeping.
Housekeeping.
Where's your Roomba, by the way?
Roomba's in the other room.
Oh no.
He makes too much sound for a podcast.
Oh no, he's been demoted. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, anyways, you can find us all over the internet at Japan 2.0, spell out point. Leave us reviews and recommendations of your favorite coffee places, you know. Any correspondence?
Yeah,
good correspondence.
Please teach us the ways. We'll do, maybe if you give us a good one, we'll record about it.
Yeah. If you give us some good places, we'll definitely try the places that you recommend. Yeah. So, you know, we'll do a follow-up for sure. So send them our way. And please rate us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get this fine podcast. And, rate another podcast you like while you're at it, you know? Try to spread the love. And,
Rate them one star.
No, rate them 5 stars. Rate us 5 stars, please. And yeah, thank you for listening. And the song of the show today is Blue Cafe.
Blue Cafe.
Yeah, from the Blue Cafe crew, which consists of the small circle of friends. Oh. So you might have recognized them from some of our previous
episodes,
mixtapes. They always seem to creep their way into some of the stuff I do. So yeah, and they have a lot of songs about cafes. So
okay.
It feels like it fits.
Perfect. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Peace. See ya.